Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome. Great to have you with us. We're in Bloomington, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team will take on Indiana. 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime for the Chesapeake Energy tip-off show. John Johnson suspended, not here on the trip. Expect more playing time for Peyton Banks tonight. Hannah Mascara-Perea out for Indiana tonight. Expect Colin Hartman to start in his place this evening here at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Congratulations to Tom Perkovich, who's the new head football coach at Susquehanna. 10 years as the OC at Muhlenberg, developed some outstanding team offenses there, including three record-setting rushers there as well, so congratulations to him.
He also spent some time in FCS football working with tight ends and running backs up at Holy Cross, and I think Colgate was the other stop he made in the Patriot.
So good to have him on board, and we'll get him on the show here at some point. But I think that's a nice solid move for Susquehanna. He is a rock-solid coach with great credentials. Penn State football news, the Virginia Tech series. They're going to make a couple of changes in that. They're supposed to play in 22 and 23. That's going to change now. They're going to play at Virginia Tech in 2020, and then Virginia Tech will return the game to Beaver Stadium in 2025. I know it seems like it's eons away, but they'll play at Blacksburg at Lane Stadium in 2020, and then at Beaver Stadium. The schedule puts them at Beaver Stadium in 2025. Also, the fact that the football team had its team meeting took place and of course, five new Nittany Lions, of course, a part of that, including Sterling Jenkins, Paris Palmer, Tommy Stevens from just up the road here, three scholarship players that have entered early. They were part of that team meeting. Also a part of the team meeting, though, Anthony Zettel and Jordan Lucas. They both were there. We know the time to declare for the draft is Thursday. That is the deadline. But they were both in the team meeting this week. Marcus Mariota, by the way, does have another year of eligibility, you know, at Oregon. He is not a senior. He is a senior academically. He already has his degree. But he can opt if he wants to go to the NFL draft. So can Cardale Jones. Cardale Jones can also opt for the NFL draft because he is a redshirt sophomore. He's been asked about it. He says he wasn't sure, but he also says at the same time he's not sure he's ready. But yes, he can opt if he wants for the NFL draft, but as it looks like the lean is no. Marcus Mariota hasn't said one way or the other, but he does have the option. If he so desires, he can go back to Oregon. He has another year of eligibility left. I think everyone's assuming he's going to go to the NFL draft. Then I think that's an assumption that certainly has a lot of merit to it, but still, just throwing that out there just so you know that that's where he is. So that's our news and notes for the day when it comes to Penn State football. So throw that out there for you. And TCU and Ohio State have both been labeled as the early favorites for next year. We'll see how it plays out. And one quick note, when you look at a season, what have I always told you, the king of overreaction?
Let things breathe.
Yeah. This season was a perfect example of, in the end, allowing it to breathe and then seeing what the finished product is. Signs of really good teams or well-coached teams are ones that finish and look like a much better product than what they started with. Ohio State obviously falls into that category. I think TCU falls into that category. TCU looked tremendous down the stretch, and they were awesome in their bowl game. When you look at the second weekend of the season, it was not, by any stretch of the imagination, a good second week of the season for the Big Ten at all, which included a loss by Ohio State to Virginia Tech, which included Michigan State losing at Oregon, among other things along the way that just it just wasn't pretty. The Big Ten at that point was, in some quarters, buried and declared finished for the 2014 season. Because on that particular week, the Big Ten did not do well at all. Now you let time go and let it breathe a bit. The Big Ten underdogs in all 11 bowl games, and the 11th being the national championship game as well. Oregon was a 6-point favorite. So the Big Ten was an underdog in all 11. The Big Ten ended up 6-5. In the end, Wisconsin beat Auburn. Penn State beat Boston College. Rutgers beat North Carolina. Michigan State beat Baylor. Ohio State beat Alabama and Oregon. Now where's the Big Ten in perception? And that's when you allow the season to breathe. Now, what's the full body of work look like? Who got better down the stretch? Wisconsin had a disastrous game against Ohio State. Yet down the stretch of the regular season, Wisconsin played really well and played very well against Auburn and beat them. Michigan State, after they lost their game to Ohio State, played really well down the stretch. Rutgers played better down the stretch, and Penn State, they fouled up at Illinois. We all know that. But they still won three of their last five games. And then Ohio State, after the game at Beaver Stadium, Ohio State, after that game at Beaver Stadium, really hit stride. Played better down the stretch. TCU played better down the stretch, as an example.
I thought one of the interesting things when you look back at the bowls, and this would not be counting the national championship setup, but the Big Ten was, I don't think, favored in any of the bowl games and went 5-5.
I said that, yeah.
No,
they were underdogs
right.
in all 11 games.
In all the games, and then at least went even money. And, you know, and that includes new members like Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers beat North Carolina. Rutgers beat North Carolina. Despite a coaching change, Wisconsin beat Auburn. Penn State beat Boston College. Michigan State beat Baylor. And what, you know, let's face it, that's a road game. Okay, that's a road game. Michigan State goes to Texas and beats Baylor. Wisconsin goes on the road to the South and beats Auburn. Ohio State went to the Sugar Bowl, beat Alabama. So now you have two consecutive years where no SEC champion. ACC and Big Ten have won back-to-back years. The SEC is still really, really good. But I think there's a better distribution across the landscape. You know, because the SEC, for them this season, this is how the season played out. Perception high, high, high all year. And remember, my question was in October, is that two schools that have always been middle of the pack teams in the SEC. Always middle of the pack. Always. Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Why their sudden rise in prominence? I mean, what did they do in the non-conference that made you sit back and go, hey, here they come? Nothing. They did nothing. And in the end, remember the final weekend of the regular season, what happened? Georgia Tech beat Georgia. Florida State beat Florida. Clemson beat South Carolina. Louisville beat Kentucky. The ACC beat four SEC teams final weekend. Now remember what the spin was out of that. Remember what it was? Well, that's the SEC East. That's the weaker division. Okay. So now you get to the bowl season. Alabama lost to Ohio State. Auburn lost to Wisconsin. Mississippi State lost to Georgia Tech. Ole Miss blown out by TCU. Those are the top four teams in the SEC West. What did they do in their final games? And the only one that was close, really, in the end, was Auburn and Wisconsin. That game went to overtime. You have to let it breathe to see what happens. And I think the SEC, which plays a fun brand of football, has obviously, with the seven straight national championships, to their credit, has played a great brand of college football. Let's not discount that. They have. But things do go in cycles. And they've obviously recruited very well down there. There's no getting around that either. But my complaint about them is that they have eight conference games. They brilliantly schedule. You have to give them all the credit in the world. They schedule it in such a way where it seems like they're doing more, because they'll take the second weekend of the season, then they'll play each other. Then they'll pick another weekend, and they'll play each other again. Then they'll go in the next to last weekend before they get to the traditional games. They're playing Western Carolina and, the games that would you normally see in September. And they never get downgraded for it. You notice that? They never get downgraded. The perception is interesting when it comes to how they mask it. Because, again, in the non-conference, who does the SEC go out and actually play? Now, I mentioned the four ones at the end. Florida plays Florida State, Clemson plays South Carolina, Kentucky plays Louisville, and what was the other one? Georgia plays Georgia Tech. All right, so they do go out at that point. They play somebody else. Those teams do. But what do the others do? Auburn did play Kansas State. They escaped. But what is Mississippi State, Texas A&M? Who do they play? Arkansas. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
With no bones in to neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want to see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia.
Make tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,389. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Come see the Snowbusters
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com.
SMC. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. Can add bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
Indiana wants me.
Well, I can't go back there. Indiana wants me. Well, I can't go back there.
Welcome back to the land that time forgot. And
good news is I'm running out of Indiana songs.
Thank goodness. I mean, at least like find something from Mellencamp. I mean, for at least he lives here.
Well, that's true, but that, I didn't know if, you know, I thought that would be a little bit of a reach.
A reach? He lives here.
Well, I mean, did he do it? But he didn't do a song with Indiana in the title, did he?
It doesn't matter. The football indoor practice facility is named after him. He donated the cash. He's going to be at the game tonight.
Come on. All right. Small town's coming up just for you.
He's a season ticket holder, for goodness sakes. I mean, at least he's an active part of it. It's not like they fly in some guy from Hawaii to sing a song every year and he flies back out. It's the only time he's ever there. That was a shot at your guy.
Yeah, I know. I could play Denise Williams. She's from Gary, Indiana.
No.
No.
The guy lives here. Okay? He lives here. Okay?
I'm sorry. I don't quite understand. He lives where again?
Oh, my God.
I mean, how about Van Halen with David Lee?
Every day, circling a fogged-in airport. Searching for a spot to land this point.
I mean, David Lee Roth lived there till he was at least 13. Does that count?
It's getting to the point now I'd almost rather talk about the Olympics.
I've broken you down.
Actually, there is one thing I will talk about when it comes to the Olympics. They need to find a permanent site for both and not move it around anymore.
Do you think, you know, I was given some serious thought tonight. I know you said that tongue-in-cheek the other day, but I was given some serious thought about it.
No, I didn't.
All right.
No, I didn't.
I assumed it was.
I was dead serious. No, I was dead serious because I think what they're doing right now is that they are fleecing cities. And I'm telling you right now, as soon as you can explain to me what you're going to do with the spare velodrome.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, eventually you're going to have so many cities with a velodrome. How many world championship events can you have and still keep these things feasible? And I think that's one of the big problems when you look at what happened after Sochi. I mean, how many events can you have there and be able to make money for all the hotels that were built?
Put the Summer Olympics in Athens, put the Winter Olympics in Switzerland, and we're done. And pour money into facilities, all right? And instead of moving it around, fleecing cities out of money, having them bid, take out the corruption, and just do it like that. I mean, Boston's going to spend all this money for a 17-day track meet. Are you kidding me?
But you mean to tell me that they could not find someone to kind of foot the bill for it? We're in an era in the United States where everything has a sponsor name. You can't tell me that Sony, for instance, doesn't want to own the velodrome for 2 weeks?
But Kevin, come on. Let's do this logically here. I mean, you talked about the Super Bowl the other day. Well, when the Super Bowl goes someplace, it's going to an existing facility that's already used.
Yes, I understand that.
All right? Okay? In order to do this, let's take Boston. Boston is going to have to build facilities. I mean, they're going to need an Olympic stadium, and I know the plan is they're going to convert it into a soccer stadium when it's done. But you're going to have to build a velodrome. You're going to have to build other things along the way to make this work. Just have one place that has all of this and put money into maintenance and making it as modern as possible in two locations, winter and summer, just do that.
But here's the issue.
Moving it around, there's no issue.
Yes, you do. You don't have to build a velodrome.
People out of it.
You don't have to build a velodrome, and you don't have to build an indoor stadium for speed skating. Does everybody love that? Does everybody like that? Sure, that's great because you can fit a whole bunch of people in there. You don't have to worry about the weather. It's a controlled climate. I get it. But you know what? Before they started doing this, they had other locations for these events, and they didn't build stadiums because there weren't any stadiums. The stadium thing is new.
they've had to build it for all these things because there is a popularity to it. But and that's why, you know, they're trying to get more people in and so forth. They just need to pick a permanent spot for each one and just do it, and then pour the money in to maintaining them and keeping them at top level instead of moving it around. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the next big event in there is your flea market.
Well, let me give you an example. Was Sydney?
Okay. In Beijing, what was the event last weekend at the Beijing Stadium? The flea market. It was a flea market last week.
Okay, but
all right. That's, I mean, that's what people do with these things. I mean, they've got to change this thing up.
Well, was it Sydney that had the outdoor pool for water polo, diving, and swimming? I mean, they didn't build an arena for that. That's perfect. Because
sure,
guess what? Swimming is outside a lot of times, except in the winter.
I remember going to Los Angeles, and I saw the pool 6 years after, and it was really in disarray. I guess they put some money and refurbished the Olympic pool since. But it was really in lousy shape when I saw it. That's what happens to most of this stuff. You're done using it. The Olympic Village in Lake Placid's a prison now. Maintain it for four years. Use it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, they didn't know what to do about the Pro Bowl, about who's going to coach it. They finally did figure it out. It's going to be the Ravens coaching staff and the Cowboys coaching staff. After the John Fox staff got blown up, they looked around and go, we don't really know what to do here.
I was wondering
when I saw that.
Yeah, when I saw that come down, I thought, whoa, Fox and the Broncos parting ways, and then the coaching. Who's going to coach the Pro Bowl? I wondered about that. I'm glad you addressed that.
It's going to be the Cowboys and the Ravens. So John Harbaugh, who's a heck of a coach, he really is. And Jason Garrett, who's about to sign a new 5-year contract with the Cowboys. They have put out, Sportsbook has put out the odds to win next year's college football championship. Of course! It's barely in the grave from the last one. Ohio State 9-2. TCU 7-1, Alabama 8-1, USC 12-1, Baylor 12-1, and Oklahoma, which looked ultra sharp down the stretch, 12-1. Did I miss something about Oklahoma? They were awful.
Maybe they know something we don't. By the way,
evidently,
Steve, I Rich from Lock Haven wants to talk a little bit about the a possibility of a little bigger tournament for college football.
Okay, hi, Rich. How are you?
Steve, I don't know if you remember me. Years back, I called you and was telling you before my mom passed that she used to call you and Jack ham and eggs.
Yes, I do remember it like it was yesterday. Yes.
Well, listen, Jonesy, I wanted to say I have trouble with this playoff system because I can't really call it a playoff system because to me it was just an opinion poll, you know, we got these teams in, and I was just like, how long did it take you to do your brackets at the water cooler, you know what I mean? Four
sure.
teams. But I truly sure. believe the only way it's legitimate is you have every winner of every Division I conference, and then you battle it out. Because there's teams that were out there that, I mean, just like last year in basketball, who won it? Who would have thought Connecticut would have won it? There's teams out there that could have knocked any of those teams off. You know,
it's all about when you get hot. Yeah, it's all about when you get hot. There's no question about that.
Right, but the thing of it is, before the season starts, you have four teams placed up top before they've even played a game. If they don't, there's a chance they stay there all year long. I mean, to me, that's just, I wanted to call it the Obamacare Bowl. It's so flawed. just, I can't consider Ohio State in that little 14 tournament. Yeah, they won out, but to me, it's just not legitimate. I was just wondering what your thought was.
Well, all four teams that made it won their conferences. All
right.
Four did. All four not only won their divisions, but all four also won their conference championship games.
Right.
So in that vein, moving forward, those four teams are legitimate in the conversation about being in the national playoff. The only one that's not, obviously, is no TCU or Baylor. And then now you start talking about, is Boise State a part of
right.
this? What other conferences that do you take along? The American Conference champions not in it, and so forth. So
right.
I see where you're going. I see where you're going there. The other part is a little different than college basketball. You and I can crank out six college basketball games for a national champion in three weekends. It's harder to do in football because of the once-a-week aspect.
I think there's 11 right. conferences in FBS Division 1A, and that doesn't include – well, that includes independents as a division by themselves.
Right.
Well, isn't it funny that Penn State could have knocked them right out of it?
No question they could have.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, and that they played their best game of the season on that particular night. And
right.
what's amazing is that, you know, it was the emotion in the stadium. Players, despite being outmanned, because they're outmanned, putting forth an incredible effort. And Urban Meyer, you know, the first one to say, he said, we knew we had to change some things up after that game as to how they did things. He said, because that night they were vulnerable.
Well, can I ask you something? I'm just curious. Did you see that 30-30 presentation on Aaron Hernandez?
I did not. Enlighten me.
Well, you know what? I want to say something, and I'm just going to say it. I don't care if I offend anybody or not. I think what Urban Meyer knew what was going on down in Florida was far more, I don't know the word, but disgraceful than what they accused Joe Paterno of doing. I think Urban Meyer knew that he was a criminal, a hoodlum, whatever you want to call him, and he turned the cheek. That's my opinion on it. If you watch the program, I don't see any way he couldn't have known. And when that came up on the Colin Cowherd show, he said, quote, well, you know, that's their culture. That's the way it is in the SEC. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute, back up. They accused Penn State of having a terrible culture because they place so much emphasis on football. It's funny how things become hypocritical.
I will agree with the last part of that statement, and you know the other part I'll just let stay out there. How about that? But I'll agree
yeah,
with your last statement.
I think there's some validity into it, but you have a nice day.
Okay. You too, Rich. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565.
You know, what Rich was talking about is kind of what is a lot of what they do in FCS, where you have the conferences with an automatic winner, with an automatic bid. And I think there's a total of 14 conferences, although not every conference participates in the FCS tournament. I think the problem with that is I think you have the danger of getting too big with 10 or more.
Right, that's the issue when you can do this in college basketball where you can expand from 64 out to 68 teams. You can do the first four and all that stuff. I mean, you can do that and you can build it in because it doesn't take as much in college basketball. For example, hey, we won in Dayton. Now we're going to go to Lexington and play the next round there. Easier to do. Not as easy to do in college football. Just getting this to eight is going to be difficult, and it's not going to be conference champions. When you go to eight, it's not going to be conference champions.
But I mean, Rich has a point. I mean, it's still a voting decision process, the way we have it.
Oh,
now
he's
to get
absolutely
in.
He's absolutely right about that. But the voting decision process happened to be four conference champions that won their conference championship games. there was not an at-large in that group. How about that? When Alabama won the national championship the first time, the one they beat LSU, they didn't even win their division. They not only didn't win their division, they didn't even play in their conference championship game. They played in, they went from the regular season to the national championship game. They didn't even, so you have three titles you can win in a year: division title, conference championship, national championship. They won one of the three, the national championship. This, at least with these four, and Rich is correct, it was voted as to who they happen to be, but all four were conference. All four won their division. All four won their conference to get to this spot.
And, you know, I mentioned the FCS. The FCS has at-large bids as well as conference winners. And look at how many, whether they're four or five teams, I think, from the Missouri Valley Conference, which understandably is a big conference. I'm not gonna deny that. It's a really big conference.
Illinois State, for example, is in the Missouri Valley, as is North Dakota State. They did not play each other this year until the championship game.
Right. They didn't play each other until the championship game. And, you know, you also have other teams that were in there, Indiana State, Northern Iowa. You know, so you ended up with two teams from the same conference that really kind of, I guess you could say, won the conference without playing each other. So even that format that the FCS has isn't ideal to, say, just taking conference champions and playing them off from there.
I mean, if you expand it out to eight, TCU would have made it, Baylor would have made it. Now, who are the other ones that are going to make it? Would Michigan State have made it?
Well, would you're still going to have that question. It? You still have that question around 7, 6, 7, and 8 even on who should go and who can't. No matter how many teams you have in this, I do give you, and you've said this too, I believe, Steve, no matter how many teams you have in this tournament, there's still going to be the bottom two are like, okay, do they deserve to be in here or do these other two teams deserve to be in there? I don't care how many you take.
The next argument is going to be as to why aren't 9 and 10
right
if you go to 8. Just like in the NCAA basketball tournament, there are 37 at-large. I guess it's back to 36 because the American gets an automatic bid now. 36 at-large teams. You're still going to get arguments about 37, 38, and 39. I mean, when Penn State in 2009 didn't make the NCAA tournament and went to the NIT, San Diego State and Penn State were the last two teams out. Because the NIT sat there with 30 spots bracketed on the board, and they had to call over to the NCAA group and say, look, we're still stuck here at 30. Who are the two teams? And the two teams they were given were San Diego State and Penn State.
When you look at my idea in the first hour was taking all the conference champions. All right, let's say for the sake of argument, you do that. And there's 11 because you throw in the independents in a conference of their own, which, by the way, would have had a three-way tie for first just by record.
But that group shouldn't be in. They don't play each other.
Right, and I'm not against that. But let's say you throw them out. You take the 10 conference champions. Okay, you take the 10 conference champions. Now you've given two buys in there. Do you really want to do that? I think the limit to this thing has to be 8. I can't see you getting any more than 8 if they ever expand it.
You'd have to get, at that point, you have to consider getting rid of the conference championship games.
You would have to me, yes, that, yes.
To me, at this moment, that's the layer. And I think it's wonderful that Boise State beat Arizona. But they're not better than the four teams that were in this thing.
But wouldn't it make the Independence Bowl, I'm just picking a bowl, what would be considered a somewhat minor bowl, wouldn't it be interesting if the Independence Bowl had an impact and some of these smaller bowls that get played 2 weeks before Christmas and New Year's, or a week, I should say, before Christmas and New Year's? I don't go that far out anymore, but...
You're kidding, right?
No, look at the numbers of some of these bowl games. I mean, can you imagine if they actually had a say in the national championship tournament, the television numbers that would be there?
But they've already got that. They've already got that. They wouldn't use those bowls. They'd be using the Peach Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl.
Well, if you go to eight teams, you probably need more.
Let's see. You'd need one more, right? One. You'd need one more. I don't even know if you need one more.
Let's see. You play four games.
You need one more.
Yeah, you need one more.
You need the one more, and my guess would be, and the group that I think that would come up with the money would be the Citrus Bowl. Because they're going to throw a ton of money into that stadium. The Citrus Bowl would love to be a part of it. You'd only need one more. Because you already had the other ones. You already had the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl. You already have those six.
I'd rather see Capital One. Or, I'm sorry, the Outback Bowl, I guess it's called now. It used to be years ago was something different, but...
Yeah, the Hall of Fame Bowl.
I'm still stuck on the Poland Weed Eater Independence Bowl.
And even then, you actually only need the group you've got now. I mean, still,
yeah, because no, you're right.
They farm out the. For example, Tampa is going to get the national championship game because the national championship game is not a part of the New Year's Six. Next year it's going to be in Glendale, I believe, but I think the year after it's in Tampa. See, that's done by bid. Any stadium can get that one.
Yeah, that's not a bowl game in essence.
Right. So any stadium can get it. That's not even an issue. Any stadium, that's done by bid. So in other words, if, for example, the brand-new dome stadium, the $975 million stadium in Minneapolis, outbid everybody else for whatever, they'd get the national title game.
I thought about this last night as I was watching the game. Do you know this? If it wouldn't have been for the national championship, this would have been the Rose Bowl? Last night's game?
I don't quite know what do you mean?
No, I just thought it would be if they didn't have the national championship set up the way it was.
Oh, because it was Pac-12,
right?
Big Ten.
This would have been the Rose Bowl game.
Right. Well, it'll revert back to that next year, and let you know, because the Rose Bowl will be part of the New Year's Six next year. They're part of the New Year's Six next year.
Yeah, isn't it New Year's Eve for the semifinal games next year?
Yes, and it's going to be, I think, the Fiesta Bowl and the Orange Bowl get the semifinal next year. So that's how it's going to work. And yeah. Yeah, and New Year's is going to be on a Friday next year. So, a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
With no bones in, to neighbor food. Who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see ya in a Kia.
Trax in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at
$22,389.
And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at
$24,983
with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Come see the Snowbusters
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com.
SMC. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. CAMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
Well, I was born in a small town.
See, just like
you'll
my days.
You'll be at the game tonight.
Just like my days as a DJ, I do requests.
You'll be at the game tonight. He always is. Season ticket holder right behind the bench area. I always tell him that you say hi.
Thank you.
He always has that. He always gives me that confused look. But what would really be great for him is if he drove to the game in a Sunbury Motors Flex.
I may actually try that because this thing really, the 2014 Ford Flex is a nice little vehicle for the highway. Had a chance to drive it around on Interstate 80 a little bit earlier over the weekend. And for a big vehicle, very smooth ride. And plenty of room in there, too. This particular vehicle that we're featuring is the Ford Flex Limited. Has 7-passenger seating. 8-passenger is also available. But with the 7-passenger seating, you get a storage rest in the middle row that can actually be used as a cooler. Plus, the 110 outlet and the accessory port will not only run everything you need, but it'll charge everything you need as well. And then in the back of two rows, they have their own heat air conditioning set up as well. So everybody's going to have their own zones in the Ford Flex. Just one of the many features available with the Ford Flex Limited from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Check it out on my Facebook page or at Kevin Herr on Twitter.
Very nice. What a great vehicle. And, of course, the best people to deal with, Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And, of course, never forget Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll bring the show back inside to the Sunbury Motors studio tomorrow. Look forward to that. And start shifting gears. Talk about Penn State basketball tonight. John Johnson not here. Expect Peyton Banks to play more tonight. Expect Donovan Jack to start tonight. He played well enough, I think, offensively against Michigan. So I would expect it'll be Brandon Taylor, Ross Travis, Donovan Jack, DJ Newbill, Shep Garner in the starting lineup tonight. Off the bench, Geno Thorpe, Julian Moore, and Peyton Banks and Jordan Dickerson would be the four primary guys off the bench. I think that's the rotation. Hannah Mosquera-Perea will not play tonight for Indiana. Hurt. Out. Expect Colin Hartman. An effort guy. I mean, a hustle guy. That's the kind of player he is. Expect him to be in the starting lineup for Indiana tonight.
And you're a 6:30 airtime here on WKOK, right?
Yep, 6:30 tonight for the Chesapeake Energy tip-off show with head coach Patrick Chambers.
5:30, Steve Jones time.
No.
Oh, you're not in the central time zone there?
No.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember where it started.
Right around Gary, Indiana. That's about the... They now do daylight savings time here. They used to not change times, but now they do. You know, they're on Eastern time, and when they go to daylight time, same thing.
I had friends, and we went to a Penn State Michigan State game in East Lansing. They were trying to convince me once we got across the border into Michigan, it was the Central Time Zone. I said, "No, it's not." They said, "How do you know?" I said, "I looked it up because I knew you guys were going to try and pull that on me."
You're kind of paranoid, aren't you?
No, I just know my friends.
You say we're all bad people?
No, you all think you can pull something over on me. Sadly, you're usually successful. Not that time.
I'm trying to think the last one I did with you. They've all been successful.
Oh, there's been several. I can't pick one in particular.
It entertains us.